not? Of course it does. And so it would follow. If I can pay someone $50,000 for a day of their time and see an increase of $500,000 per month in revenue within 3 months because of the insights and strategies revealed, that would be a hell of a return on investment, right? So there are two components to value here. First, how rare the sources are. Second, the actual value being provided. The value and rarity compound to create some truly breathtaking profits. Specialized consultants are paid millions of dollars to solve problems worth tens of millions to clients. The client pays for all the experience and expertise the expert has and avoids the cost of errors, time, and money. In short, they skip the bad stuff and go straight to the good stuff more quickly and for less money than it would cost to figure it out on their own. A beautiful economic exchange. I personally experienced this for the first time when I had two different people offer me $50,000 for a day of my time after speaking at an event. They were scaling an education business in a niche, not too dissimilar from my own, and could not get past the $1 million per month mark. As someone who was doing $1 million per week in the same business type at the time, I was a very specific type of person with the keys to their problem. So what happened, you ask? Drumroll, I didn't accept the offers. Why? Because I was making more than $50,000 a day in profit in my business and didn't want the distraction. Author note, it was years later that I started acquisition.com to help these very people. But instead of charging a day rate, I simply became an equity holder in the company to completely align interest for short and long term, and so I could see the implementations through. And as my time is limited by the laws of physics, for everyone else below the $3 to $10 million per year mark, I make all these materials for free. After the event concluded and I was speaking with Layla, I realized how I had somehow become one of those people I had always wondered about. It was very surreal for me. I finally understood how premium prices were truly made. Simple supply and demand. There is little that substitutes for incredible demand. You can try and fake it, but there's a special type of zero fucks given vibe that's hard to replicate when you truly don't need a person's money or even want it. That's how these guys can charge so much, because they don't need it. The person who needs the exchange less always has the upper hand. I always try to remember that. It's one of the negotiating and pricing principles that has best served me in my life. But Alex, how are you going to show me how to use scarcity to increase the amount of people who want to buy my offer when currently no one does? Great question. Let's attack some real world, in the trenches strategies to reliably create scarcity. Creating scarcity. When there's a fixed supply or quantity of products or services that are available for purchase, it creates scarcity or a fear of missing out. It increases the need to take action and by extension, purchase your offer. This is where you publicly share that you are only giving away X amount of products or can only take Y new clients. For example, if a musician drops a limited edition hoodie and says he only made 100 and they will never be made again, are you more or less likely to buy it than one that is always available? More likely, naturally. The idea that you can never get it again makes it more desirable. This is an example of scarcity. It is the fear of missing out on something. It pulls on our psychological fear of loss and gets us to take action. Humans are far more motivated to take action to hoard a scarce resource than they are to act on something that could help them. Fear of loss is stronger than desire for gain. We will wield the psychological lever to get your clients to buy in a frenzy all at once until you are sold out. Three types of scarcity. One, limited supply of seats or slots in general or over X period of time. Two, limited supply of bonuses. Three, never available again. But how do you use this properly without being phony? I'll try and give you some real-world examples. Physical products. Having limited releases is a tried-and-true method of using psychological bias to your advantage. You can have limited releases for flavors, colors, designs, sizes, etc. This month, we're releasing 100 boxes of mint chocolate cookie-flavored protein bars. Important point. To properly utilize this method, you should always sell out. Here's why. It's better to sell out consistently than over-order and fail at creating that scarcity. This method stacks in effectiveness if it is done repeatedly over time, just not too often. Once a month seems to be the sweet spot for most of the companies that I know who do this with regularity. Second important note. When using this tactic, you must also let everyone know that you are sold out. That is part of what makes it work so well. This way, even people who are on the fence, when they see that it was sold out, gives them social proof that other people thought it was worth it. And now that the choice has been made for them, they desire it more because there's no way they can get it. So the next time you make the offer, they will be far more likely to take you up on it. Fun fact, Chanel, a brand that has maintained insane margins and pricing for over a century, is a master of scarcity. They send only 1 to 2 of each piece to each store, so every store has a different selection and every item is the last or second to last item in stock. This allows them to price far above market and turn buying impulses into purchases. Services. With services, especially if you want to consistently get customers, it can be a little trickier to use scarcity. but I will show a few very simple ways to employ scarcity ethically to increase your take rate on offers. These all have similar elements with very slight tweaks. I'm enumerating these because one of these might mentally fit your business model more than others. Number one, total business cap, only accepting X clients. Only accepting X clients at this level of service ongoing. This puts a cap on how many clients you service, but also keeps them in. You create a waiting list for new prospects. The moment your door opens, they jump right in, and price resistance disappears. Periodically, you can increase capacity by 10 to 20%, then cap it again. This works well for your highest tiers or service levels. A. This is like saying, my agency only will service 25 customers total, period. Over time, you can increase your prices and squeeze the lower performing accounts out and bring in new, more profitable accounts, or you can periodically open up slots as your capacity allows, always leaving some demand unmet. 2. Growth rate cap. Only accepting X clients per week ongoing. We only accept 5 new clients per week. We already have the first 3 spots taken. I have 6 more calls this week, so you can either take the spot or one of my next calls can, and you can wait until we reopen. I have used this method since the beginning of my business. I always knew what my capacity per week was and simply chose to let our prospects know how many openings we had left. This banks on the fact that you can only handle a certain amount of new customers anyways on a regular basis, so you might as well let them know. 3. Cohort cap. Only accepting X clients per class or cohort. Similar to the above, except done on whatever cadence you desire. Only accepting X clients amounts per class or per cohort over a given period is another way of thinking about it. Imagine you only start clients monthly or quarterly. This helps you get some cadences in place in your business operationally while also allowing your sales team some legitimate scarcity. Example, we take on 100 clients 4 times a year. We open the doors, then close them, etc. Pro tip, provide limited access for higher ticket services. These scarcity tactics work especially well for higher ticket upsells. If you want to create one-off workshops, trainings, events, seminars, consulting, etc., these are the things that by their nature take time and provide more access. Pairing them with the clear scarcity or fixed amounts, seats, or spots will rapidly drive up demand. But always remember, have less spots available than you think you can sell, so that when you want to do it again in the future, everyone will remember you sold out fast. This is a compounding strategy that increases in effectiveness over time, one of the few in the marketing arsenal. Let me give you a real-world example of scarcity to enhance the value of a free lead magnet. If I were to tell you right now that I have a checklist that you can download for free, that has all these materials for you in this book in bulleted format, you might be inclined to put this book down and go there to download it now. But if I told you I have it set so that every week the page only allows 20 new people to download it, you'd be far more likely to go and see if you can grab it. And even more so, if when you try, you see that it has already run out for the week. Result? You join a list that notifies you the next time 20 or more checklists become available for download. What happens next? When you get that notification, you'll hit the link on your phone and you'll go to the page because you don't want to miss out again. By employing scarcity, we make what would otherwise be a neat free download into a desirable thing that not everyone has access to. You also, by extension, would be far more likely to consume it when you do get your hands on it, all because of how we control supply. Cool, right? Honest scarcity, the most ethical scarcity. The easiest scarcity strategy is honesty. Wait, what? Let me explain. I'm sure right now you probably couldn't handle 1,000 clients tomorrow, right? But how many could you handle? 5, 10, 25? Well, you might as well define a number that you're willing to take on in a given period of time and then advertise it. Simply letting people know that you are 3/4 the way to capacity this week will move people over the edge to buying from you. Or letting people know that you're 81% to capacity in your total business will make more people likely to sign up with you, quote, before they lose the chance. Scarcity also implies within it social proof. If you are 81% of capacity, then a decent amount of people made the decision to work with you, and the closer you get to your arbitrary fullness, the faster the spots will disappear. But only you get to draw where that line is, quote, full. Neat, right? Summary points. Employ one or multiple methods of scarcity in your business. You will drive a faster purchasing decision from your prospects and at higher prices. Just let them know your limits and let psychology do the rest. Now that we've covered some of my favorite scarcity tactics that you can use year-round, what else do you do to increase demand without changing anything about your offer? Increase urgency. We will cover that next. Pro tip, extreme scarcity. If you don't hate money, sell a very limited supply of one-on-one access. You can do that via any of the mediums described in the delivery cube. Direct message access, email access, phone access, voice memo access, Zoom access, etc. There are lots of ways you can do this, but I promise you this. If you want to immediately make a lot of money, create a very exclusive service level based on access to you that you cap at a tiny number. Price it very high, then tell people. You will make more money than you thought possible. These also tend to be some of the best clients. And limit your delivery to something that you don't hate. For me, I hate emails and messages, but don't mind Zoom calls. Make it work for your working style. The cream of the crop, the 1% of the 1%, will adjust and take action. Pro tip. Once you're out, you can never come back. You can create scarcity by also capping your service level and saying that if they leave, they can never return. This type of scarcity makes people think extra hard about leaving. I started doing this with my gyms early on. Then I was in a mastermind that employed this. Then I started using it in my highest level at Gym Lords. This works best with small groups, like the above example. As groups become much bigger, the tactic loses some of its teeth, speaking from experience. Chapter 12, Enhancing the Offer. Urgency. Deadlines drive decisions. Scarcity is a function of quantity. Urgency is a function of time. This is where you only limit when people can sign up rather than how many. Having a defined deadline or cutoff for purchase or action to occur creates urgency. Frequently, scarcity and urgency are used together, but I will separate them out for you to illustrate the concepts. I'm going to show you four of my favorite ways of using urgency on a consistent basis, ethically. 1, rolling cohorts. 2, rolling seasonal urgency. And 3, promotional or pricing urgency. 4, exploding opportunity. They will employ urgency in your business without being phony. My favorite way of doing this is having cohorts of clients start on a regular cadence. This has the added operational benefit of helping you create a choreographed onboarding experience for new clients. As you scale, this will become increasingly important. Number 1, cohort-based rolling urgency. For example, if you start clients every week, even in unlimited amounts, you can say, if you sign up today, I can get you in with our next group that kicks off on Monday. Otherwise, you'll have to wait until our next kickoff date. If you wanted to juice it up a little bit, you could say, I actually had a client who signed up a few weeks ago drop out, so I have an opening for our next cohort that kicks off on Monday. If you're pretty sure you're going to do this sooner or later, you might as well get on in it now so you can start reaping the benefits sooner rather than paying the same and waiting. Those two tweaks above have pushed so many sales over the edge by just reminding a potential customer that if they sign up, they will be starting on Monday, and if they do not, they will have to wait a week. It's small things like this that nudge people to take the action that they know they should already take anyways. Obviously, the less frequently you kick off new customers, the more powerful this is. For example, if you only start clients 2 times a year, people will be very inclined to sign up, especially as the date approaches. Even starting new clients every other week can confer this urgency nudge. What if I lose sales by turning business away? Just like guarantees, there's always a fear that you will make less money by employing this strategy. We are afraid that we will lose sales that we would otherwise have made. Every experienced marketer on the planet will tell you it is a fear and it is unfounded. The biggest sales on a week-long campaign or launch happen in the last 4 hours of the last day, up to 50 to 60%. That means that the last 3% of the time allotted creates 50 to 60% of the sales. That's completely illogical, but also unmistakably human. So, just like a guarantee, you will make more money from the many people who decided to take action than people who already missed out because in reality, those people were never going to buy. Heck, they didn't even buy when they had their feet to the fire, so why would they buy now? Good to remember. What to do if you just started a cohort and someone wants to buy? You have 2 options. 1, you can offer them a speedy, personalized onboarding to get them up to speed as a bonus for signing up today and still get them in. Or, my preference, you can explain to them that since the next group starts in a little, they will have the advantage of having more time to review the materials, talk to their employees for a B2B product, for example, or families for a B2C product. On top of that, they can have a more extended payment plan that you can only make available to them since the start date is so far out, an advantage that most clients do not get. In the end, remember, you always have the advantage because you are the one who calls the shots. 2, rolling seasonal urgency. In a digital setting, having actual sign-up date countdown is very useful. But make sure they are real. If they aren't, you'll lose credibility and just look like every other wannabe marketer. This is very common with internet businesses that use launch models. I personally love having the dates that I am running a promotion through on my landing pages and in my copy. I want it to be visible everywhere. The nice thing is that you can always fire up another ad campaign and a new landing page with new dates and be right as rain. You will see your conversions go up through the roof, and it takes maybe 5 minutes of editing, well worth the time investment. Example, Our New Year promotion ends January 30th. Next month, our Valentine's Day Lover promotion ends February 30th. Next month, our Sexy by Spring special ends March 31st. Next month, our Fools in Love April promo ends April 30th. The actual promotion may be the same, but naming it something different by season gives you the real differentiator that gives you a start and a finish. Deadlines drive decisions. By simply having these, you can point to them and let human beings push themselves over the edge so as not to miss out. Pro tip for local businesses. This is my number one strategy for local businesses. They must vary their marketing more frequently than national advertisers. Putting a new wrapper with a date on the same core service gives you urgency and novelty that will consistently outperform the same old campaigns. 3. Pricing or bonus-based urgency. This is another way of creating urgency using your actual offer or promotion/pricing structure as the thing they could miss out on. Kind of brilliant. It allows businesses that sell clients year-round to still use urgency. For example, yes, let's get you started today so you can take advantage of the discount you came in for. I'm not sure how long we'll be running it as we change them every 4 weeks or so. And this is one of the better ones we've run in a while. This creates some fear of missing out on the promotion or discount or bonuses rather than your actual service. It would be a lie to say that if you own a roofing business, you won't service them if they buy after the date. But if you talk specifically about the promotion, you can often elicit the same urgency on buying the prospect while maintaining your integrity. Win-win. You can interchange a pricing promotion, discount, or added bonuses like free install or free onboarding or an extra workshop valued at $1,000 if they buy now. These are all things you can swap around your core offer to create urgency. Pro tip, clean your pipeline with every price change. If you ever really are planning on raising your prices, hopefully soon if you're reading this book right now, then you can always clean out your pipeline by letting people know the price is going up, so get in now. Never raise your prices without letting people know. It shows a position of strength and will give you a nice little influx of cash from the people in the pipeline who are on the fence. 4. Exploding opportunity. On occasion, you will be exposing the prospect to an arbitrage opportunity. The opportunity itself has a ticking time clock, as all great opportunities do. Every second someone delays, they miss out on disproportionate gains. Example, if I were explaining an arbitrage opportunity between buying products on eBay and selling them on Amazon, this market efficiency would correct itself over time. The sooner someone acts, the better it will be for them. This could be true for selling someone on the opportunity of trading cryptocurrencies, buying a stock, getting into a new platform to advertise before competitors jump on the bandwagon, or anything else like that. Highly competitive job environments often get job offers that are exploding offers every day. They wait to take the job, their pay or bonuses decrease. This forces prospects to make fast decisions rather than try and wait it out to see if they get a better offer. All of these examples show opportunities that decay with time, so if you find yourself in front of an opportunity like this, make sure to emphasize it. Summary points. Adding a deadline and incorporating one or multiple forms of urgency will get more people to take action than otherwise. I have employed all 4 of these methods with great effectiveness. I suggest you do the same. Next up, bonuses. Free gift number 7, bonus tutorial, how to ethically use scarcity and urgency. If you want to walk through some live, ethical examples of scarcity and urgency with me, go to acquisition.com/training/offers and select scarcity and urgency to watch a short video tutorial. You'll also be able to grab my scarcity and urgency checklist that I use when creating offers. As always, it's absolutely free. Enjoy. Chapter 13, Enhancing the Offer, Bonuses. It's all gravy, baby. Play on an old English saying. I have to give special thanks to Jason Flatland for my renewed appreciation for bonuses. They are so powerful that they earned an entire chapter. In this chapter, I'm going to cover what to offer, how to pick them, how to value them, how to present them, and how to price them. The main point I want you to take away from this is that a single offer is less valuable than the same offer broken into its component parts and stacked as bonuses, aka the entirety of the offer we came up with at the end of the last section. This section is about how to present those pieces in what order. For example, I may in fact do lots of things with my service, but until I enumerate them, they are unknown. This is why every infomercial of all time continues with, "But wait, there's more." They would not use these techniques unless they were effective, as every second of airtime costs money and must be justified with ROI. You'll also notice that if you watch those old infomercials, they would sell one knife for $38.95 and then include 37 other knives, sharpeners, pans, and guarantees to beat the prospect into submission. They establish the price, and then they expand upon it until you feel like it's such a good deal, it would be stupid to pass it up. The reason this works is that we are increasing the prospect's price-to-value discrepancy by increasing the value delivered instead of cutting the price. We anchor the price we tell them to the core offer. Then with each increasingly valuable bonus, that discrepancy grows wider and wider until it's too big to bear, and we snap the rubber band in their mind that is holding their wallet in their pocket. We are now going to present that stack of deliverables that we assembled earlier in a way that makes them irresistible. Pro tip: add bonuses instead of discounting whenever possible on core offers. Whenever trying to close a deal, never discount the main offer. It teaches your customers that your prices are negotiable, which is terrible. Adding bonuses to increase value to close the deal is far superior to cutting prices. It puts you in a position of strength and goodwill rather than weakness. Presenting bonuses one-on-one versus group selling. There are key differences between pitching to a group versus a single person. Group selling is beyond the scope of this book, but I want to at least address when a bonus would be brought up in a one-on-one selling scenario. When selling one-on-one, you ask for the sale first before offering the bonuses. If they say yes, then after they have signed up, you let them know the additional bonuses they're going to get. This creates a wow experience and reinforces their decision to buy. On the other hand, if the person does not buy after the first ask, then you present a bonus that matches their perceived obstacle, then ask again. Don't feel weird about asking again. You simply agree with the prospect, add the bonus, and then ask if this consolation was fair enough. People have a hard time rejecting reciprocity, so adding a bonus to accommodate, then another, and people feel almost obligated to buy from you. If you recall from our trim and stack chapter, each of those deliverables is now being weaponized and presented at the perfect time. We're going to provide all these bonuses to them anyways, but it increases the perception of our offer's value by laying these bonuses one at a time. Bonus bullets. That being said, there are a few key things to remember when offering bonuses. 1. Always offer them. You can use the bulleted bundle we came up with at the end of section 3. 2. Give them a special name that has a benefit in the title. 3. Tell them A. how it relates to their issue, B. what it is, C. how you discovered it, or what you had to do to create it, D. how it will specifically improve their lives, or make their experience faster, easier, or less effort and sacrifice, just looking at the value equation. 4. Provide some proof. This can be a stat, a past client, or a personal experience to prove that this thing is valuable. 5. Paint a vivid mental image of what their life will be like, assuming they have already used it and are experiencing the benefits. 6. Always ascribe a price tag to them and justify it. 7. Tools and checklists are better than additional trainings, as the effort and time are lower with the former, so the value is higher. The value equation still reigns supreme. 8. They should each address a specific concern or obstacle in the prospect's mind about why they can't or won't be successful. The bonus should prove their belief incorrect. 9. This can also be what they would logically realize they would need next. You want to solve their next problem before they even encounter it. 10. The value of the bonuses should eclipse the value of the core offer. Psychologically, as you continue to add offers, it continues to expand the price-to-value discrepancy. It also subconsciously communicates that the core offer must be valuable because if these are the bonuses, the main thing has to be more valuable than bonuses, right? No, but you can use the psychological bias to make your offer seem wildly compelling. 11. You can further enhance the value of your bonuses by adding scarcity and urgency to the bonuses themselves, which takes this technique and puts it on steroids. A. Bonuses with scarcity. Version 1. Only people who sign up for my XYZ program will have access to my bonus 1, 2, 3 that are never for sale or available anywhere else other than through this program. Version 2. I have 3 tickets left to my $5,000 virtual event. If you buy this program, you can get one of those last 3 tickets as a bonus. B. Bonuses with urgency. Version 1. If you buy today, I will add in XYZ bonus that normally costs $1,000 for free. And I'll do that because I want to reward action takers. C. With hope, you can see the subtle differences. The first two examples aren't constrained by time. They state that if you buy the program, you will get the things you normally would not be able to. The bonus with urgency is about them buying today, and if they do not buy today, they will lose the bonuses. Minor difference, but worth noting. Advanced level bonuses. Other people's products and services. You can get other businesses to give you their services and products as a part of your bonuses in exchange for exposure to your clients for free. This is free marketing for them, and high-value products for you at no cost. Businesses will do this because you're going to give their business exposure for free to the highest quality prospects, your customers. As long as they are not direct competitors, you can get some brownie points, secure some future referral IOUs, and make your offer more valuable at the same time. If you secure enough of these relationships, you can literally justify your entire price in the savings and additional true-to-price bonuses. For example, if I owned a pain clinic, I might get a massage therapist to give me 1 to 2 free massages to incorporate into my offer. On top of that, I might get 1. A chiropractor to give me 2 free adjustments, valued at $100. A low-inflammation food company to give me discounts for their products, $50 savings. Discounts for braces and orthotics, $150 of savings. A local health club down the street to give me personal training session for free and a free month membership to their pool, $100 value. Discounts on all pharmaceutical drugs from the local pharmacist, $100 per month in savings. Repeat the above for multiple service providers. So perhaps I get 10 chiropractors to give me a free adjustment. Now I have 10 adjustments in my bundle, etc. Now if my offer were $400, then the value of these free bonuses alone is worth more than the $400. As if that weren't already awesome enough, if you really want to be a Jedi, negotiate a group discount and a commission for yourself. This is exactly what we did with our supplement company. Our gym owner clients who use our sister company, Prestige Labs, sponsored athletes get 30% discount on all our products. And on top of that, the sponsored athlete gets 40% of all sales netted after the applied discount. So it's a win-win for everyone. Their clients get it for 30% less than our main site. They get paid for giving away exclusive discounts, and we get customers in exchange for a commission paid. Everyone wins. If you're following along, each of these bonuses can become revenue streams for you indirectly by getting clients to say yes more easily, and directly because you can negotiate that each of these businesses can pay you for the people you send their way. So let's say we negotiated the following affiliate commission for making an introduction to these businesses. The chiropractor gives you $100 per person who comes into their office. The food company gives you free food. Orthotics company gives you $100 per person referred. The health club gives you a free membership or $50 per month who signs up. Pharmacy gives you $100 per person. Now let's look at how much money we made. Our $400 offer now has the possibility to make us an extra $350 of pure profit. That's the beauty of these relationships. The other businesses will pay you, and you don't have to do anything but refer customers to them that you already have spent the money to acquire. And if you really want to get crazy, come up with a Grand Slam offer with these partners' businesses by using the same concepts in this book so that each of the bonuses themselves become even more valuable than a simple commoditized service. Free gift number 8, bonus on bonuses. There are a million and one ways to use bonuses in your offers. You can get people to act faster. You can price anchor and product anchor, little known. You can get more people to say yes than you otherwise would. And if you want a live deep dive with me, you can go to acquisition.com/training/offers and select bonus creation to watch a short video tutorial. I also have a free bonus checklist that I use when creating offers, so you can swipe it and use it for your business on the house. Summary. We want to employ bonuses because they expand the price to value discrepancy and get people to purchase who otherwise wouldn't. They massively increase the prospect's perception of the value of our offer. So here's what to do. 1. Create checklists, tools, swipe files, scripts, templates, and anything else that would take lots of time and effort to create on one's own, but is easy to use once created. Anything that you can invest in one time that clearly costs time or money to create, but can be given away endless time, is a perfect fit for bonuses. 2. Beyond that, make a habit to record every workshop, every webinar, every event, every interview, and use them as additional bonuses as needed to crush a perceived obstacle. 3. Proactively negotiate group discounts and a referral commission with adjacent businesses that solve needs your customer will have as a result of beginning this process with you. What's the next natural thing they might want? Go to those businesses. Get a deal for them they could never get for themselves because you were negotiating with the purchasing power of all your customers at once. Very powerful. Author note, the longer you are in business, the more of these bonus assets you will have at your disposal. All of these things are valuable. Put them in a vault and keep them in your back pocket to sprinkle into an offer to get the deal closed. Information products work very well here because they have high perceived value, low cost, and zero operational effort besides an additional login. Tickets to virtual experience or events work too. Same goes for a higher level of service that has a fixed cost, like giving someone a VIP service for a month, which also, by the way, doubles as a way of upselling them into that level of service to keep them on it. More on that in book 2. What should be a bonus versus part of the core offer if I am the one fulfilling it? Short answer, wow factor. In other words, something you wouldn't want someone to miss. Many times you have so much cool stuff that you'll be providing your customers, which is a good thing, that valuable nuggets can get lost in the mix. You want to take the most distinct ones that can almost stand on their own and pull those out to highlight them. This is especially true for things that are short in length but high in quality or value. Checklists or infographics can condense a lot of information into a small space. Someone might not feel justified paying lots of money for a product launch map, for example, but as a bonus would be perceived as very valuable. Next up, we have our core offer. We are presenting it in a way to increase scarcity and urgency, to increase the likelihood that they want it even more. We stack the bonuses of our offer to make the price-to-value discrepancy out of this world and break our prospects' minds. Next on our magical journey, we'll be addressing the big elephant in the room, risk. We will completely obliterate it using a combination of guarantees so they have no reason not to buy. Chapter 14, Enhancing the Offer, Guarantees. You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it. Men's Warehouse ad that ran forever. Guarantees worth their weight in gold. The single greatest objection for any product or service being sold is, drumroll, risk. Risk that it doesn't do what it's supposed to do for them. Therefore, reversing risk is an immediate way to make any offer more attractive. You will want to spend a disproportionate amount of time figuring out how you want to reverse it. That being said, how much more attractive can a guarantee make an offer? Jason Flatland, who I referenced earlier, once stated that he had seen the conversion on an offer 2 to 4x simply by changing the quality of the guarantee. It's that important. From an overarching perspective, there are four types of guarantees: unconditional, conditional, anti-guarantee, and implied guarantees. You must always hit your guarantee hard, even if you don't have one. Say it boldly and give the reason why. But won't people take advantage of a crazy guarantee? Sometimes, but not usually. That being said, you must understand the math. If you close 130% as many people, and your refund percentage doubles from 5% to 10%, you've still made 1.23x the money, or 23% more, and that all goes to the bottom line. Example, 100 sales with 5 refunds, which is 5%, equals 95 net sales. The guarantee offer might get 130 sales, 13 refunds, which would be 10%, and net 117 sales. So 117 over 95 is 1.23x, or a 23% increase. Don't be emotional, just do the math. For a guarantee to not be worth it, the increase in sales would have to be 100% offset by people who refund. So an absolute increase in sales of 5% would need to be offset by an absolute increase in refunds of 5%. But that would be a doubling of refunds, which is unlikely. So for the most part, the stronger the guarantee, the higher the net increase in total purchases, even if the refund rate increases alongside it. Warning: while guarantees can be effective sellers, people who buy because of guarantees can become very shitty customers. A person who only buys because of a guarantee is a person who may not be willing to put in the work necessary to see success with your product or service. In a world where you want to reverse risk and get customers the best outcome, tying your guarantee to the things they need to do to be successful can help all parties. Pro tip: high cost services warning. If you have a tremendous amount of cost associated with your product or service, you will likely want to employ a conditional guarantee or anti-guarantee, as you'll have to eat the cost of the refund and the cost of fulfilling. Types of guarantees. If you don't achieve X in Y time, we will. What makes a guarantee have power is a conditional statement. If you do not get X result in Y period of time, we will Z. To give a guarantee teeth, you have to decide what you'll do if they don't get the result. Without the "or what" portion of the guarantee, it sounds weak and diluted. Note, this is what most marketers do. Bad example: we will get you 20 clients guaranteed. Better example: you will get 20 clients in your first 30 days, or we will give your money back plus your advertising dollars you spent with us. This is a simple but strong guarantee. Here are the four types of guarantees. I'll go over them in theory and we'll apply them. 1. Unconditional guarantees. As I stated earlier, there are unconditional, conditional, and anti-guarantees. Unconditional are the strongest guarantees. They're basically a trial where they pay first and see if they like it. This gets a lot more people to buy, but you will have some people refund, especially as consumer culture continues to shift towards entitlement and zero accountability. 2. Conditional guarantees. Conditional guarantees include terms and conditions to the guarantee. These are the ones that you can get very creative on. In general, you want these to be, quote, better than money back guarantees. Because if they're going to make an investment, you want to match their investment psychologically with an equal or higher perceived commitment. These also can have a very powerful effect on getting clients. If you know the key action someone must take in order to be successful, make those part of the conditional guarantee. In a perfect world, 100% of your customers would qualify for a conditional guarantee, but will have achieved their result and therefore would not want to take it. That is an ideal we can all aspire towards. And just FYI, if given the option of getting a refund or getting the outcome they were promised, the vast majority of people would take the outcome. That's why they bought it in the first place. 3. Anti-guarantees. Anti-guarantees are when you explicitly state all sales are final. You will want to own this position. You must come up with a creative, quote, reason why the sales are final. Typically, you'll want to show a massive exposure or vulnerability on your part that a consumer could immediately understand and think, yes, that makes sense. These types of guarantees are especially important with items that are consumable or massively diminish in value once given. 4. Implied guarantees. Implied guarantees are any offer that is a performance-based offer. This comes in many different forms. Rev share, profit share, triggers, ratchets, monetary, bonuses, etc. are all examples. The end-all concept is the same. If I don't perform, I don't get paid. Unique to this particular structure is it also confers the upside of, if I do a great job, I will be very well compensated. These only work in situations where you have transparency for measuring the outcome and trust or control that you will get compensated when you perform. Stacking guarantees. An experienced salesman understands that, like bonuses, you can actually stack guarantees. For example, you could give an unconditional 30-day no questions asked guarantee, then on top of that, give a conditional triple your money back 90-day guarantee. That would be an example of stacking unconditional with a conditional guarantee. You can also stack two conditional guarantees around different or sequential outcomes. For example, you'll make $10,000 by 60 days, $30,000 by 90 days, as long as you do thing 1, 2, and 3. This future paces the prospect into an outcome they now believe is far more likely, since you will be deliberately spelling it out in a conditional guarantee with a timeline for achievement. Doing this shows the prospect you are serious about getting the results and convinced they will achieve what they want. This shifts the burden of risk back from them onto us, a very powerful strategy. Let's go through some different guarantee examples. These are some of my favorites. Guarantee. If you don't achieve X in Y time, we will insert offer. Unconditional, no questions asked, guarantee. What the client gets. A, a full refund. B, 50% refund. C, refund of ad spend or any ancillary cost. D, you pay for a competitor's program. E, you return their money plus any additional money on top of it, like an extra $1,000. My take. This is about as simple as it gets. It's also very risky. You put yourself in a situation where if someone does not achieve the results, whether because of your fault or not, you will still be held accountable. Obviously, this is a strong but unoriginal guarantee. You can add conditions, but the more conditions you add, the faster this guarantee loses teeth. Wording. I heard Jason Flatley, who I referenced earlier, pitch his unconditional guarantee on a webinar, and I thought it was unbelievable. These are 100% his words and not my own. I take no credit for this, but have included it for completeness. I'm not asking you to decide yes or no today. I'm asking you to make a fully informed decision. That is all. The only way you can make a fully informed decision is on the inside, not the outside. So you get on the inside and see if everything we say on this webinar is true and valuable to you. Then, if it is, that's when you decide to keep it. If it's not for you, no hard feelings. You will then, after signing up at XYZ URL, be able to make a fully informed decision that this isn't for you. But you can't make the decision right now for the same reason you don't buy a house without first looking at the inside of it. And know this, whether it's 29 minutes or 29 days from now, if you ain't happy, I ain't happy. For any reason whatsoever. If you want your money back, you can get it because I only want to keep your money if you're happy. All you have to do is go to support at xyz.com and tell us, give me your money, and you got it. And in short order, our response times to any support requests average 61 minutes over a 24/7 time period. You can only make such a guarantee when you're confident that what you have is the real deal. And I'm fairly confident when you sign up at URL, you're going to get exactly what you need to benefit, right? Insert dream outcome. Pretty crazy guarantee. Pro tip, name your guarantee something cool. If you're going to give a guarantee, spice it up. Instead of using satisfaction or some other vanilla word, describe it more strongly. Generic example, bad. 30-day money-back satisfaction guarantee. Creative imagery example 1. Good. In 30 days, if you wouldn't jump into shark-infested waters to get our product back, we will return every dollar you paid. Creative imagery example number 2. Great. You'll get our infamous Club a Baby Seal guarantee. After 30 days of using our services, if you wouldn't Club a Baby Seal to stay on as a customer, you don't have to pay a penny. Unconditional, satisfaction-based refund guarantee. Expanded on from above. What the client gets. If at any time they're not satisfied with the level of service they're receiving from you, they can request a refund at any time for the program. My take. Believe it or not, this was my guarantee when I sold weight loss programs. Beside being an irresistible offer, I guaranteed satisfaction. I used the strength of my guarantee to close a lot of deals. Do you think I'd still be in business if I gave a crazy guarantee like that and wasn't good at what I did? Now, I'm not guaranteeing you're going to hit this goal in 6 weeks, after all, because I can't eat the food for you. But I am guaranteeing that you will get $500 of the value and the service from us to support you. If you don't feel like we gave you that level of service, I'll write you a check the day you tell me we suck. It works perfectly with a best case, worst case close. Best case, you get the body of your dreams and we give you all your money towards staying with us to hit your long-term goal. Worst case, you tell me I suck, I write you a check and you get 6 weeks of free training. Both options are risk-free. But the only thing guaranteed not to help you is walking out of here today. If you're good at what you do, you can use a guarantee like this to push a lot of people over the edge. That line that I just said made me a lot of money. I had two people take me up on that refund out of 4,000 sales in 3.5 years. It's worth it. Satisfaction / no questions asked is the highest form of guarantee. It means we could do everything right and you could still ask for your money back. As long as you know the math, you will typically make up for the refunds in spades with higher and faster closing on the sales side. But you have to be good at fulfilling on your promises. If not, steer clear. I believe this offer works much better in lower ticket situations. It becomes very risky as you go into higher ticket services with higher costs of fulfillment. Pro tip, unconditional versus conditional based on business type. Bigger, broader guarantees work better with lower ticket B2C businesses. Many people just won't bother taking the time. The higher the ticket, the more business oriented it is, the more you will want to steer towards specific guarantees that may or may not include refunds and may or may not have conditions. Conditional outsized refund guarantee. What the client gets. Double or triple their money back, or a no strings attached payment of XXX, or another amount that's far more than what they paid. My take. This is for when you sell something with high margins, and this is a guarantee to add with a consumption condition. That means that they must do a variety of things to qualify for this guarantee. Jason Fladlein, who I mentioned earlier, did $27 million in a day, recently used an amazing guarantee for a course he sold. He said, if you buy this course and spend X on advertising in your e-commerce store using the methods herein and don't make money, I will buy your store from you for $25,000, no questions asked. He claimed that an additional $3 million in sales came from this crazy guarantee on a 2997 course. What's more, he only gave 10 of those $25,000 refunds out. So the refund generated $2.75 million in extra sales. That's what a crazy guarantee does for you. In general, a very strong guarantee like this will definitely drive more sales. This really serves the purpose when you need a lot of stuff to be done by your prospect, and assuming those things are done, there's a low chance of the result not being achieved. Sometimes a guarantee like this can actually get clients better results on top. This guarantee will typically outperform a traditional 30-day money-back guarantee in terms of net conversions, sales minus refunds. Conditional service guarantee, what the client gets. You keep working for them free of charge until X is achieved. My take. This is probably my personal favorite guarantee of all time. It essentially guarantees that they will achieve their goal, but it eliminates the element of time. You are never at risk for losing the money. The guarantee is around the outcome. To add further flavor to it, you can make this guarantee conditional on them doing key actions linked with the success. Setting up a web page, attending calls, showing up to workouts, weighing in, reporting data, etc. Real talk. Since I've been advising businesses to use this particular guarantee, I have yet to have a single person say a client took them up on it. Realistically, if someone actually does everything you ask them to do and doesn't achieve the result by the time you said, one of two things usually happens. One, seeing your client's commitment, you happily keep working with them until they achieve the desired result. Two, it gets dropped. Your client is very likely close to the goal, which means they're satisfied. Also, it's likely the sales conversation with the guarantee was months earlier. What may have been important in the sales conversation is a distant memory now, replaced by their affection towards you and your business. Conditional modified service guarantee. What the client gets. You give them another Y-long period of service or access to your product or services free of charge. Generally, Y should give them at least twice the duration. My take. This is like the service guarantee, but it ties a specific duration to your extended work or involvement. So instead of being on the hook forever, you're only on the hook for the additional Y period of time. I've seen it work magically and keep the business on the hook for a finite period of time, which may be an easier place for you to start before doing an all-out service guarantee like the above. Conditional credit-based guarantee. What the client gets. You give them back what they paid, but in a credit towards any service you offer. My take. This is best used during an upsell process to seal the deal on a service they are unsure they will like. They already like what they have, and you are trying to sell them on more of that. Worst case, they can apply to the thing they already like, so it maintains goodwill with the customer. Conditional personal service guarantee. What the client gets. You personally work with them one-on-one free of charge until they reach X objective or result. My take. This is absolutely one of the strongest guarantees in existence. It's like a service guarantee on crack. You will definitely want to add conditions to this. For example, they must respond back in 24 hours. They must use the products you tell them to. They must XYZ. Only if they do that will you keep working with them one-on-one. This is especially powerful as you scale and become more edified as a business owner. Can you imagine for a moment if one of my salespeople said, Alex will personally work with you until your offer converts? Right. It would work. It would also be a nightmare. So I would probably put contingencies like, provided you've already spent $10,000 on your existing offer using our offer structure, the offer you ran was for lead generation, and it was a free offer. These are things that would make it unlikely to not succeed. If for some reason they hadn't with those stipulations in place, I could probably fix the problem in 10 minutes just looking at it. Conditional. Hotel plus airfare perks guarantee. What the client gets. If you don't receive value, we will reimburse your product and your hotel and airfare. My take. This is technically a refund of ancillary costs from our first example. I just love it a lot for workshops and in-person experiences. Normally, the event would cost more than the hotel and airfare, so it's like adding an extra $1,000 to a guarantee, but way more tangible. It's original enough that people like it. Conditional wage payment guarantees. What the client gets. You offer to pay their hourly rate, whatever that may be, if they don't find your call or session with them valuable. My take. This is also an ancillary cost guarantee, just a very original one. If someone ever actually asks for the wage payment, just ask them for their tax return and divide it by 1,960, aka the number of working hours at 40 hours a week per year. But no one asking for a refund will actually do that. So you never actually have to give out one of these refunds, like ever. Kind of cool. Conditional release of service guarantee. What the client gets. You let them out of their contract free of charge. My take. This voids a commitment or cancellation fee. If you have a business that has enforceable commitments, contracts, or clauses, this can be a powerful guarantee. Better yet, if you're in a business that does not enforce your contracts, then you have nothing to lose by adding this guarantee. Conditional delayed second payment guarantee. What the client gets. You won't bill them again until after they make or get their first outcome. Example, lose your first 5 pounds, make your first sale, get to your website live, etc. My take. I like this a lot, especially if you have a very systematized process for getting the first result. It gets the prospect thinking in fact action terms and gets them moving. It will also focus your team on activating your client. This is a great one when you know what metric or action drives activation, aka a predicting indicator of long-term retention of a client. I've successfully used this guarantee loads of times. Conditional first outcome guarantee. What the client gets. You continue to pay their ancillary cost, ad spend, hotel, etc. until they reach their first outcome. Example, if you don't make your first sale in 14 days, we will pay for your ad spend until you do. My take. Just like the delayed second payment, just centered around a different cost. I personally like this setup a lot. It keeps everyone focused on getting that first dollar over the bridge. Once that one comes across, the second comes soon after. Anti-guarantee. All sales are final. What the client gets. Access to super exclusive, very valuable service or product. Likely, this is a very powerful thing that once seen cannot be unseen, or once used cannot be taken away. Example, a line of code to improve your checkout experience on a website. Once someone received the code, they could try and use it without paying you. Or a series of opening messages for picking up girls, or opening sentences for messaging cold prospects. These are things that are very valuable, but incredibly easy to steal after they've been seen or understood. My take. This can enhance the persuasiveness of a sale and the value of the product or service. It essentially implies that the client is going to use it and see an immense benefit, thereby exposing the business to vulnerability. It acts as a damaging admission. We have an all sales are final policy, but that is because our product is so exclusive and so powerful that once it's used, it cannot be unused. Since it is so standard to have some sort of guarantee, not having one is also attention worthy. So instead of being wishy-washy, lean into the fact that this thing works so well and is so easy to copy, you must make all sales final. They'll believe you even more if you take this position. We're going to show you our proprietary process that we are using right now to generate leads in our business, our funnels, ads, metrics, etc. We're going to be exposing the inner workings of our business, and as a result, all sales are final. Note, strong reason why is needed here. Just make one up that sounds compelling. The more you can show real exposure, the more effective this will be. Anti-guarantees can also work very well with high-ticket products and services that require a lot of work or customization. If you're the type of customer who needs a guarantee before taking a jump, then you're not the type of person we want to work with. We want motivated self-starters who can follow instructions and not looking for a way out before they even begin. If you're not serious, don't buy it. But if you are, boy, are you going to make a killing. From these examples, you should get the idea. Implied guarantees. Performance models, rev shares, and profit sharing. Performance. A. Only pay me XXX per sale, or YYY per show, or XX per pound lost. Rev share. A. 10% of top line revenue, 20% profit share, 25% of revenue growth from baseline. Profit share. X percent of profit, Y percent of gross profit. Ratchets. 10% if over X, 20% if over Y, 30% if over Z. Bonuses and triggers. I get X when Y occurs. What the client gets. If you do not perform, they do not have to pay. If you perform, your compensation has been determined based on an agreement decided upon before you begin working. My take. Performance, rev share, and profit share aren't guarantees per se, but for all intents and purposes, they are. This is an implied guarantee whenever you enter a rev share or performance partnership. If you don't make money, you don't have to pay me. In my opinion, this is one of, if not the most desirable setups. First, because it makes you accountable to your client's results. Second, it weeds out low performers. Perfect alignment between client and service provider fosters collaboration and a long-term relationship. I'm a big fan. The drawbacks are tracking and collection. So if you can find a way around that, you've hit a gold mine. This is a part of the offer we teach our agencies who use our software. We help them switch from a retainer model to a performance model and wrap that into a Grand Slam offer, the one I walked through earlier. I've seen countless agencies go from $20,000 a month to $200,000 a month in a matter of a few months using this guarantee. You can also pair a rev share or performance setup with a minimum. It would be like saying, we get the greater of $1,000 or 10% of revenue generated. So if the client doesn't generate money because of whatever reason, this at least covers your cost of services, etc. Or saying, we get $1,000 for the first 3 months, then after that, it switches to 100% performance. This would be the ideal setup if it takes a long time to get going. These types of offers work well when you have quantifiable outcomes. The stronger, of course, is no payment without performance. Create your own winning guarantee. Reversing risk is the number one way to increase conversion of an offer. Experienced marketers spend as much time crafting their guarantees as the deliverables themselves. It's that important. I have personally used all the guarantees listed above except for the hotel and phone call one, which I just liked and saw. But you can come up with your own. The key is to identify a client's biggest fear, pain, and perceived obstacle. What do they not want to have happen if they pay you? What are they most afraid of? Reverse their fears into a guarantee. Think of time, emotion, outside costs associated with any program. The more specific and creative the guarantee is, the better. That being said, guarantees are enhancers. They can enhance the magnetism or attraction of any offer, but they cannot make a business. If a guarantee is used to cover up a poor sales team or a poor product, it will backfire to lots of refunds. No bueno. My advice, start selling service-based guarantees or setting up some sort of performance partnerships. This will make all sales final, so you have no fear from refunds. And most importantly, it will commit you to your customer's results and keep you honest. From there, either keep that guarantee in scale, which is perfectly fine, or move up the food chain to less restrictive guarantees to increase volume. We now have a core offer built and guarantees chosen. Next up, now all we have to do is put a bow on this puppy and actually name it. Naming an offer correctly determines how well your advertising converts, how big of a response you get from outbound emails, cold calls, and texts, and how many inbound responses you get from organic comments. It matters. That being said, I will show you how to generate unlimited names or wrapping paper for your offer. That way it never fatigues, no matter how small your market may be. This is the key to evergreen lead generation. Free gift number 9, create a winning guarantee with me. Guarantees can make or break businesses. They are like dynamite. They can be incredibly powerful if in the hands of an expert. If you want, go to acquisition.com/training/offers and select creating guarantees to watch a short video tutorial so you can start using this in your business to make more sales ASAP. I also made a free guarantee checklist for you to use. It's absolutely free. You can go grab it. Lots of love. See you in the next chapter. Chapter 14, enhancing the offer, naming. Implicit egotism effect. We are generally drawn to the things and people that most resemble us. Magic headline formula. Like the tree that falls in the forest that no one hears, having a Grand Slam offer will not make you money if no one finds out about it. The goal must be that upon hearing about your offer, your ideal prospects are interested enough to take action. Naming it properly is an integral part of this process. Here's an example. Say you see a free 6-week stress release challenge and a float take center session. While they may be the same thing, just named differently, you're much more likely to respond to the first. Now here's the rub. Over time, offers fatigue, and in local markets, they fatigue even faster. Why? In a local market, it costs relatively little to reach an entire population. On most platforms, you can reach 1,000 people for about $20. So if there are 200,000 people in your addressable area, then it would only cost you $10,000 to reach all of them one time. Important disclaimer. Reaching an audience one time in no way means an offer is fatigued. Most people don't even notice an offer the first mention. That's why you need to create new creative videos and images and new hooks, stories, and copy around the same offers. You can still use offers for a long time, but when we're talking about years of use, not months, offers can eventually fatigue. Over time, you can rename the offer to refresh it. This one concept will get you leads forever. I mean it, so pay attention. We are not changing the actual offer. where you're only changing the wrapping paper. If you've put together a bundled offering, you're still ultimately going to be doing the same things. The work you do, the services you provide, and the products you offer will remain unchanged as the name shifts. Again, we're simply changing the wrapper. Here's the simplest formula I've come up with for this process. Magic headline formula. M-A-G-I-C. M for magnet, A for avatar, G for goal, I for interval, C for container. Important. Not all these components are mandatory. You will typically use 3 to 5 of them in naming a program or service. If you can fit them all in, great, but it's likely the name will become too long. The shorter and punchier, the better. So it's a balance between brevity and specificity. The only way to really know what works is to write the names out and test them. Let's run through the components now. Author note, marketing theory. If you like understanding the concepts behind my chosen MAGIC or magic formula, each roughly translates to attention for magnet, discrimination for avatar, purpose for goal, timeline for interval, and method for container. Let's start with M. Make a magic reason why. We start the name with a word or phrase that tells people the reason why we are running this promotion. I like to tell people to think like a fraternity party planner. When I was in college, we had a party once because a guy got his wisdom teeth removed. I say this to say, the reason why can literally be anything. It really doesn't matter so long as you believe it. And you can even make a joke of it, like the fraternity example. But this should answer one or both of the following questions. Why are they making this great offer? Or why should I respond to this offer? What's in it for me? Examples. Free. 88% off. Giveaway. Spring, summer, back to school, grand opening, new management, new building, anniversary, Halloween, New Year. Note, I will discuss how to monetize free and discount offers in Volume 3, Money Models, but having a promotion or discount gives a good and strong reason why. You can also cite the season or an occurrence that will also give you a strong reason why for the promotion. Announce your avatar. This component calls out your ideal avatar, who you are looking for and who you are not looking for as a client. You want to be as specific as possible, but no more. When in a local area, the more local you can make the headline, the more it will convert. So don't do a city, try and go to the submarket or hyper-local area. Not Baltimore, but Towson, Maryland. Not Chicago, but Hinsdale, etc. Examples, Bee Cave dentists, Rolling Hill moms, brick-and-mortar businesses, salon owners, retired athletes, Brooklyn busy executives, etc. Give them a goal. G. This is where you articulate your prospect's dream outcome. It can be a single word or phrase. It can be an event, a feeling, an experience, or an outcome. Anything that would excite them. The more specific and tangible, the better. Examples. Pain-free. Celebrity smile. First place. Never out of breath. Perfect product. Grand slam offer. Little black dress. Double your profit. First client. High ticket. Seven figure. 100K, etc. I. Indicate a time interval. You're just letting people know the duration to expect here. This gives an example of how long your results will take to achieve. Note, if you're making any sort of quantifiable claim, like income or weight loss, most platforms will not approve this type of messaging with a stated duration to achievement because it implies a guarantee. It implies they're going to get this outcome in a period of time, which goes against many platform rules. So don't give a quantifiable outcome with the duration unless the platform allows it. That being said, a duration is a powerful component of a Grand Slam offer, and you should definitely use it anywhere you don't need to deal with compliance. Alternatively, if the goal you help them with is not a claim per se, then absolutely use a time interval, $10,000 in 10 days versus make your first sale in 10 days. Examples, AA minutes, BB hours, CC days, DD weeks, Z months, 4 hour, 21 day, 6 week, 2 minute, 3 month, etc. C, complete with a container word. The container word denotes that this offer is a bundle of lots of things put together. It's a system. It's something that can't be held up to a commoditized alternative. Examples. Challenge, blueprint, bootcamp, intensive, incubator, masterclass, program, detox, experience, summit, accelerator, fast track, shortcut, sprint, launch, slingshot, catapult, explosion, system, getaway, meetup, transformation, mastermind, game plan, deep dive, workshop, comeback, rebirth, attack, assault, reset, solution, hack, cheat code, liftoff, etc. Pro tip, find time to rhyme. Good rhymes stick in people's minds. Rhyme your program name to win the game. Google Rhyming Dictionary for an easy shortcut. Note, don't try and force it. It's not a requirement. It's just a nice to have. Example, six-pack fast track, five-day book print sprint, marriage thrive deep dive, 12-week two-putt shortcut. 12-month no-debt reset. Celebrity butt shortcut. Get some ass masterclass. Just thought it was funny. Etc. You get the idea. Next pro tip. Alliteration. Alliteration is where you make all or most of the words start with the same letter or sound. An alternative approach to rhyming is to use alliteration when you're naming your program. This is easier for most people than rhyming. Again, you don't need to rhyme or alliterate. Don't force it, but if you can, I think it sounds better. Example, make money masterclass, change your life challenge, big booty bootcamp, debt detox, real estate reset, life coach liftoff, etc. I might be weird, but naming offers is one of my favorite parts of this process. What I want to highlight yet again is that your actual money model, pricing, and services will remain largely unchanged. Changing the wrapper simply means changing the exterior perception of what your grand slam offer is. Below you'll find a few examples of named offers for different industries. Wellness. Free 6-week Lean by Halloween challenge. 88% off 12-week bikini blueprint. Free 21-day mommy makeover. 60-minute make your friends jealous model hair system. 6-week stress release challenge. Free bend over back pain free in 42 days healing fast track. Doctors. $2,000 off celebrity smile. Lakeway moms. $1,500 off your kids' braces. Lakeway moms. 12 months to a perfect smile. $1,000 off for 15 families. Back to school free braces giveaway. Grand opening free x-ray and treatment. Instant relief. Back sore no more. 90-day rapid healing intensive. 81% off. Tightness. $1 massage. New client summer special. Coaching. 5 clients in 5 days blueprint. 7-figure agency 12-week intensive. 14-day find your perfect product launch. Fill your gym in 30 days free. I could keep listing these, but hopefully you get the idea. Now it's time for you to give it a try for your Grand Slam offer. Again, you don't necessarily have to use all the power components of the headline. Using 3 to 5 will typically create something that is more unique and desirable, allowing you to separate yourself from the competitive field and create an offer that will get clicks and engagement and ultimately make you money. Furthermore, you don't need to do them in the magic order. Do what sounds punchier to you. After doing this for a while, you'll see that some offers convert better than others. That's natural. And every once in a while, you'll get a name that takes off like a rocket. I honestly have no idea why some names win and others do not. So don't be emotional about it. Keep trying, keep striking out, then try more. You'll get there. Now that you have several working names for your offer, you can use 2 or 3 of your best names in your advertising campaign. Quickly note the winner, then use that as a control to test against with new names. That is how you promote. Pro tip, name sub-items and bonuses. Use the magic headline formula for each item in your stack and bundle. It will automatically enhance the value of your offering simply by naming it in a way that resonates with your prospects. What happens when offers fatigue? As you market offers, you will need to create variations over time as the taste of the market change over time. Here's the order in which you will change things to keep lead flow consistent. First, change the creative, the images and pictures in your ads. Next, after that doesn't work, change the body copy of your ads itself. If that doesn't work, change the headline or the wrapper of your offer. So free 6-week lean down challenge turns into free 6-week tone challenge or holiday hangover to new year, new you. If that doesn't work, change the duration of your offer. If that doesn't work, change the enhancer of your offer, your free or discount component. 6. If that doesn't work, change the entire monetization structure, the series of offers you give prospects, and the price points associated with them. That is much more covered in book 2 and 3. I follow this variation framework because most of the time, it's the first handful of items that need to be changed. Typically, they need to be changed again and again without touching anything on the bottom of the list. For example, when ads fatigue, we don't change our entire business. We run the same ad again with a different video or image. Once that stops working, we change it again. Eventually, you need to change the words on your ads and repeat the process. Then and only then would you change the wrapper. So let's say we change from a 6-week stress release challenge to a 42-day relaxing holidays challenge for a massage center. Same core offer, just a different wrapper. Then, of course, you can change the duration of your offer, 6 weeks to 28 days or 8 weeks, etc. The lower on the list you go, the more operationally heavy it is. So be really sure you've exhausted the earlier, quote, lighter ways of varying the offer. Once you've monetized the offer, rarely should you change it. Just rinse and repeat over and over again. This can be hard because we are entrepreneurs and we love change. Change here usually just creates inefficiency and operational drag, costing you money. No bueno. So use your entrepreneurial ADD on the wrapper first, the look and feel of the offer, copy, creative, headlines, then change the seasonality of the offer, then change the duration. If you're stuck, change what you're giving away for free or discounted. Change the entire machine behind it only as a last resort, and for darn good reason. especially once you get traction. But how do you get initial traction? Good question. Try the offer structure and headline you think has the highest likelihood of working, then stick with it. And if it doesn't convert at first, don't worry, you'll get better. Oftentimes, if you're using these types of models, many of them will work. In that case, stick with the one that gives you the highest return. You can also rotate between offers if it doesn't create lots of operational drag for your business. This is the ultimate position of power. You have multiple aces in the hole that you can play at any time, which keeps your marketing converting at an even higher level. Author note: marketing for local businesses. Ironically, local business marketing is both easier and harder than national level marketing. It's easier to get to work, but harder to keep working or scale. And the reason is, in local markets, it's easier because there's trust in the familiar. So selling in person at higher prices in a local market is inherently easier. It means you will convert a much higher percentage of your leads. This makes marketing work most of the time. The downside of local marketing is that offers fatigue rapidly because there is only a limited radius that a local business can serve. To reference an earlier concept, the TAM, total addressable market for a brick and mortar, is only its immediate radius, most times. So by extension, the smaller radius, the faster the offer fatigues. This is a double-edged sword of local. Learning to rapidly vary my offers, headlines, and creative when I had my local businesses was a cornerstone skill that made my expansion to a national level advertising much easier for me. So if you are in a local market, just remember you aren't going to change the value stack of your offer. You're just going to change the way it looks to the marketplace in your marketing. Naming summary. We must appropriately name our offer to attract the right avatar to our business. True to the moniker, people do judge a book by its cover. Half-ass naming your product or offering can ruin its conversions. Don't fall victim to lazy naming. Follow the steps here to name your product or service offering and watch the same offer get 2 times, 3 times, or 10 times the response rate. You'll believe it when you see it. I know I did. Enhancing your offer section recap. Congrats! You figured out how to make your offer valuable, how to break your services into component parts, and how to rebundle them into more valuable whole. You added a guarantee to get more people to buy your offer and actually consume it so they could be more successful. You presented it with urgency and scarcity to get more people to desire it. And now you've named your offer so it attracts the right prospects and repels the bad ones, all while containing a big promise everyone can understand. But we covered a lot, so I want to give you a quick breather before we forge into book 2 to help you attract clients and monetize your offer. Free gift number 10. Bonus: create the perfect name for your product. Naming your product properly helps your avatar know the product is for them and is valuable and will solve their problems. If you want to do this live with me, go to acquisition.com/training/offers and select naming products to watch a short video tutorial so you can start using this in your business to make more sales ASAP. I also made a free naming formula checklist for you to use and reuse with your team. It also works for naming promotions. As always, it's absolutely free. Enjoy. Section 5, Execution. How to make this happen in the real world. Chapter 16, Your First 100,000. The first 100,000 is a bitch, but you gotta do it. I don't care what you have to do. If it means walking everywhere and not eating anything that wasn't purchased with a coupon, find a way to get your hands on 100 grand. After that, you can ease off the gas a little bit. Charlie Munger, Vice Chairman, Berkshire Hathaway. March 2017. My heart was racing. I could literally feel each beat pounding into my chest. I clenched my jaw to fend off the knot in my throat that I knew would lead to tears. I wanted to give in. Years of emotions were bottled below the surface. Years of ignoring my reality and lack of success. Years of putting off how I felt, just focusing on moving forward. The pressure was shooting to the surface. I could feel it. "We did it," I said. Layla, my wife now, looked up at me. She was in the kitchen making dinner and stopped, spatula in hand. "What do you mean?" "We did it. We hit 100 grand." I could barely say the words because I didn't want the tears to break through the tremble in my voice. "Like revenue?" "No, like in our personal bank accounts." "Holy shit, really? That's amazing." She ran over to me, disregarding the food on the stove, and wrapped her arms around my neck, spatula still in hand. "I'm so proud of you." She squeezed me. I slumped into her arms. It was like every knot in my body that I had been holding onto melted all at once. I could barely contain myself. But when I think back to it, the feeling I had wasn't happiness. It was relief. I'd moved from fear to security. I'd traded feeling like a failure every day, watching my work and effort yield nothing, to realizing a dream. The constant anxiety and fear of, what are we going to do? Finally, replaced by something else. I finally had time to let myself feel something. I felt like this struggle chapter of my life was finally over. "Look," I said, "it's for real." I nuzzled my head out of Layla's arms. I didn't want to look her in the eyes because I knew it would put me over the edge. I pulled my phone out and put it between us. We both stared at the unmoving screen with our personal bank account balance. $101,018. Our gaze remained unbroken as it confirmed our new shared reality. It wasn't an illusion. It wasn't revenue. It wasn't profit that was still in the business account only to be taken out later by some unforeseen emergency. It wasn't earmarked money that had to be used to pay off some debt. It was ours. It was real. Babe, we could fuck up and not make another dollar for 3 straight years and still be okay. At the time, $33,000 per year was more than enough for us to live on at our current expenses for 3 years and some. Years of ups and downs, years of plowing money into my businesses only to watch it vanish in overhead, payroll, and mistakes. Years of seminars, courses, workshops, coaching programs, masterminds had finally turned into wealth. It felt like I had broken into a new plane. The relative increase in wealth was more than I have ever felt. Tens of millions of dollars in the bank later, it was, and still is, the richest I have ever felt in my life. It was the beginning of the next chapter of my life as a business person and entrepreneur. Some people get there fast. Some people get there slowly. But everyone gets there eventually as long as you don't give up. Keep moving forward, keep getting up, keep believing it can happen, and it will. In a nutshell, we've covered a lot, and I think it's important for information to sink in, that it be consolidated and restated. So this is the back of the napkin bullet list to summarize what we've learned so far and why. 1. We covered why you must not be a commodity in this marketplace. 2. Why you should pick a normal or growing market and why niches get you riches. 3. Why you should charge a lot of money. 4. How to charge a lot of money using the 4 core value drivers. 5. How to create your value offer in 5 steps. 6. How to stack the value, deliver it, and make it profitable. 7. How to shift the demand curve in your favor using scarcity. 8. How to use urgency to decrease the action threshold of buyers. 9. How to strategically use bonuses to increase the demand of your offer. 10. How to completely reverse buyer risk with a creative guarantee. And 11. How to name it in a way that resonates with your avatar. You now have a valuable, high-margin, decommoditized Grand Slam offer. This is the first building block of a wonderful business, a product or service that people desperately want and truly solves their problem. For many, this will be enough to make far more sales at higher prices with more profit. Your first true Grand Slam offer should be able to get you to your first 100 grand. For others, you will still want more, which is 100% your right as a capitalist. There's so much more to building an acquisition machine profitably. I could not cover it all in one book. Out of respect for you, I wanted to make this thorough but manageable. That being said, the next book is dedicated to exactly that, getting more, through generating leads. In that book, I will break down exactly how to acquire customers at a profit, meaning, if you structure promotions properly, you should never have to pay for a new customer again. And that is the subject of Acquisition Volume 2, $100 Million Lead Generation. Final thoughts. Entrepreneurship is about acquiring skills, beliefs, and character traits. To advance, I find that we must determine which skills, beliefs, and character traits we lack. Most times, we simply need to improve. The only way to do that is through learning from experience and/or high-quality sources. I have received terrible advice from people who were ahead of me at the time, and though experience is the best teacher, she is not the kindest. It is my most sincere hope that what I produce provides the guidance I so desperately needed when I was coming up on my entrepreneurial journey, and I wish I could cover it all in a single book, for my sake and yours. But to do you the service I wish I had had, I cannot. The devil is in the details. Excellence exists in the depths of knowledge and nuances. That's what separates the greats from everyone else. I hope that in all the content I produce, you see my dedication to this detail and nuance that makes all the difference. These lessons were hard won. I hope you enjoyed the first volume in my $100 million series. Before we move forward into volume 2, where we'll be focusing on lead generation, as mentioned above, I want to circle back to where we started. After reading this book, I hope 1. You're well on your way to creating your first Grand Slam offer, or at the very least, can take components of that you were missing in your offer to make it more compelling to your market. I also hope that I've delivered on my promise from the beginning of this book, that investing 2 to 3 hours of your time here would yield you a far higher return than just about anything else you could do. And thirdly, I hope in return, I've taken one small step to earning the thing that I value most from you, your trust. Finally, I hope this book creates a small dent in improving the world because I believe no one is coming to save us. It's up to us as entrepreneurs to innovate our way into a better world, and that's something I'm willing to devote my life to, and I hope you are too. I'm grateful for your attention. You could have given it to anything, and you chose to invest it with me. I take that in the highest regard. So sincerely, thank you. Stay hungry, Alex. P.S. See the golden ticket below. Golden ticket, admit 1. If you're doing $3 million to $50 million per year, and you'd like my help one-on-one scaling your business, go to acquisition.com. Specifically, we help service, education, training, consulting, brick-and-mortar, or niche licensing companies scale so profitably, they only have to get rich once. I'm not the make-your-first-dollar guy. I'm the make-the-last-dollar you'll ever need to make guy. If that sounds like you, you're savvy enough to figure out how to get a hold of me on my site and book a call. Would love to meet you and hear about how your business is working and see if we can help and hopefully invest and watch you grow. Would you be opposed to growing faster? If not, you can check out my next book, aptly named Acquisition.com Volume 2, Lead Generation, which covers, you guessed it, lead generation. You'll never run out of new customers if you follow the steps in that book, especially now armed with the offer we have built. Not sure if that's the final name, it's still in edits, but if you search for my name, you'll probably find it. You'll also likely find it on my site, acquisition.com. Next, audiobook. If you like listening and having all your books with you to reference, that's what I do, you can grab the Kindle version or the alternative version of any or all of my books on Amazon. I like reading and listening at the same time to increase my absorption and consumption speeds. Just search for the book titles and they'll come up. Podcast. If you like listening, I have a podcast called The Game, where you can tune in to short episodes that deliver tactical lessons learned from failures so you can get to your goals faster. Check out the podcast here, alexespodcast.com. YouTube. I have a YouTube channel with fresh tutorials a few times a week. You can just search my name, Alex Hormozi, to find it. Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram if you like the more personal stuff, at Hormozi. The End. Acquisition.com, Volume 1, $100 Million Offers. How to Make Offers So Good People Feel Stupid Saying No. Written and performed by Alex Hormozi. Copyright 2021, Acquisition.com. Audio production copyright 2021, Acquisition.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.